Rabbosai, we're going to start today with the concept of Nashim in Megillah, and that's going to touch on the question about how to define Pirsum HaNes. So let's suggest that we are connecting today two concepts and see how they interrelate or interface. One is the concept of Nashim, and that's going to be the sugya of the Bahag, the Shitas HaBahag. And the second is the concept of Pirsum HaNes. To what extent is Pirsum HaNes absolutely critical in the mitzvah of Megillah? Can there be a mitzvah of Megillah that's completely excluded from Pirsum HaNes? And secondly, in the relationship between Megillah and Pirsum HaNes, what is Pirsum HaNes? How to define it? When? What are the conditions and that have to be met in order to achieve Pirsum HaNes? So let's start with the question of women and what the nature of their obligation is in Megillah. The Gemara says in Megillah Daf Dalid, and this you'll see on page Reish Samach on the bottom, Noshim Chayovos B'mikra Megillah Shaf Hein Hoi Bosa Nes. Now the simple impression that you get from the Gemara is that a woman has the same identical chiyuv as a man. And what's the nafkamina?
To be motzi.
Correct, that she could be motzi a man. But Tosus quotes the Shitas HaBahag, and according to the Bahag, a woman could read the Megillah for another woman, on behalf of another woman, but not on behalf of a man. And the reason for that, says the Bahag, is that women are obligated only in Shmiah and not in Kriya. So whereas a man has an obligation of both Kriya HaMegillah and Shmiah HaMegillah, a woman only has the obligation of Shmiah HaMegillah. The Turi Evan asks two questions. He says, first of all, if women are included in the mitzvah because af hein hoyu bos anes, then why shouldn't we go a step further? Why not say that they should have the same chiyuv as a man? And to differentiate between Shmiah and Kriya, he says, that doesn't make any sense. It's either a package deal, and it's made up of both. And if you're obligated, you should be obligated in both Kriya and Shmiah. Or, for some other reason, you should differentiate between Kriya and Shmiah, but he doesn't see what justifies that distinction. Now, the Bahag Sheet is quoted also in the Itur. The Itur, one of the early Rishonim, he starts by quoting a Tosefta, and the Tosefta says that Noshim Pturos mi Mikra Megillah. And the Baal Itur wants to somehow reconcile this Tosefta with the Bavli. The Bavli says that women are obligated in the Mitzvah Megillah. The Tosefta says that women are exempt from the Mitzvah Megillah.
Mikra Megillah could mean reading as opposed to hearing?
Right, that's what we're going to see in the Sefer HaItur. The Sefer HaItur is going to use the Shitas HaBahag to try to justify and reconcile the Tosefta with the Bavli. So here's the language of the Baal HaItur. He says, Masha Amru Shenoshim Peturas Koshali Tamrina Noshim Chayovas B'mikra Megillah. How do we reconcile the two? He says, "Umistavra dechayovos lishma mikra megillah." What the Gemara and the Bavli says that women are obligated in mitzvah megillah—that's only to hear the megillah. Now, please underline the next two words, which make very little sense, but we're going to spend a lot of time trying to figure them out. But we're not ready for that yet. Just underline "umevatlos meavodason." We're not sure what that means, but we'll get to that. Don't worry. But he says, "Aval likros einon chayovin." V'kein kosev balochas. He means the Bahag. So basically, when the Tosefta says that noshim pturos, that's a relative term, pturos. Relative to men, women are pturos, meaning that whereas men have the chiyuv of kriya, not just the mitzvah of shmiya, women only have the mitzvah of shmiya. So let's read again the Baal HaItur. Mestabra, it makes sense that chayovos lishmoa b'mikra megillah. That's what the Gemara means by noshim chayovos. However, as far as likros, ain chayovim, and that's what the Tosefta means when it says noshim pturos. So it's true to say a and not a at the same time. I could say noshim chayovos and I could say noshim pturos, and both are correct simultaneously. Noshim are chayovos, but only in the mitzvah of shmiya, and noshim pturos vis-a-vis the mitzvah of kriya. And once again, we have to understand what's the difference between Kriya and Shmiya, why women have a different chiyuv than men, and finally, what does the Itur mean when he adds these words, Mevatlos Meavodason, what is he trying to add over here in this particular context? Now let's just divvy up the balance of this essay into different parts. We'll call the next part a paragraph Divra Maschel Vinira. The subject of this paragraph is going to be one line in the Gemara in Megillah Daf Yud Ches. One line. I think we've seen this line in the past, but we want to revisit it. Okay, and that line is going to touch on this whole business about Kriya, Pirsum Hanes, and what's the relationship between the two. And then another section will be the paragraph that starts with the word Vehine, and that's going to be an analysis of the concept of Megillah Ksuva Bein Aksuvim. If you remember, just to refresh your memory from yesterday, this was a Sugya Megillah on Daf Yud Tes, that if the Megillah is a separate Megillah, that all you have in front of you is Esther, that's fine for the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah. But if you have in front of you a Megillah that's attached to, or is part of a larger Sefer, it has other Megillahs to it, then the Gemara makes a difference between the Yachid and the Tzibur, the individual and the community. If you're reading the Megillah communal-wise, then there's something completely puzzle, something invalid about Ksuba Beina Ksuba. So that's going to be the subject of that paragraph. Now from the words Vahanira and on, he's going to try to put this all together, swing back to the Bala Itur and the Bahag and make sense. Again, when I say the Bahag, I mean to make sense why women are only obligated in Shmiya, not in Kriya. And then the Bala Itur to figure out why the Bala Itur insists on adding these words, the Umevatlos may avodosam. Bless you. So let's start with the sugya on Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara wants to know what happens to a person who doesn't understand the Megillah. He's a Frenchman, he's an Italian, he knows French, he knows Italian, but he doesn't know Lashon Kodesh. Is it a waste of time for him to hear the Megillah? I mean, if presumably the mitzvah Megillah is to transmit some sort of message, we'll call it Pirsum Hanes, he doesn't understand the word of what's being read. So the Gemara says that's called a loes. A loes means he's someone who knows another language, and he doesn't know Ashuris. Ashuris is Lashon Kodesh. And the Gemara establishes Yotza, that he fulfills his obligation. And there's no need for him to seek out any other option for Mikra Megillah. So the Gemara is not, you know, in a very naive sort of way, the Gemara is not happy with this. How could that be that he doesn't understand what's going on? His ears somehow receive all these decibels, all these vocals, but he doesn't know what it's all about. I mean, it seems like a waste of time. And the Gemara answers, well, let me ask you a different question. What about Ami Aretz? Or what about women? Now keep in mind, you know, there's a very famous painting in the Hebrew and in the Israel Museum by a fellow by the name of Pilchowski. I don't know if you ever heard of him. He was actually elected to be the head of the Bezalel Art School. And they have one of his famous paintings here in the National Museum here. It's a painting of a woman who's dressed in the traditional costume, you know, the traditional dress back in Poland, and she's completely, you know, tsanua and everything else, and she's holding a book and reading it, and he calls it A Woman in a Synagogue. But it's really cool, because if you look very closely at the painting, you'll see the name of the book on the outside. Anybody know what it is? Have you ever heard of Tzenarena? Tzenarena is what the women did when they wanted to learn Chumash. They couldn't read Chumash. And again, this painting was painted in the year 1930, I think. So we're not going back to ancient history. Women were simply illiterate. And that's one of the reasons why Shein HaSara and the Chofetz Chaim gave the you know, to change the whole revolution for Torah study for women. But back in the day, and I'm talking just a century ago, women could only read the Chumash in Yiddish translation. It's Mamish HaPela. So we have a the library, the museum actually produces for some select paintings, reproductions, what we call a poster. So we bought a poster and we put it in the Knesset to this institution called MMY. I don't know if you heard of it, Michal Veseret Yerushalayim. I had something to do with that institution, but anyway. So the reason why we had this big, and we framed it and everything else, is to tell the MMY girls that Baruch Hashem they know a lot more than just Tenerem. But in any event, in the Gemara's language, what are you going to do with the women? They don't understand a word of what's going on in the Megillah back in the day. The Amiarets, and then there were men who were totally ignorant. I mean, the Gemara speaks about Amaratzes in the most extreme way. I mean, they didn't know a clue about what was going on in the Megillah. So therefore, the Gemara is sort of challenging. Well, should we come to the conclusion that so many members or chunks of the population will not be able to read the Megillah? You're telling me that everyone's obligated, even the Amiarets, even the women, and they don't understand the Megillah. So the Gemara, after that question is asked, the Gemara says, you know what? I don't even think we understand the Megillah. Meaning that even the scholars amongst us will certainly admit that there's certain parts in the Megillah, certain words in the Megillah, which we don't understand. And the Gemara's language is very poignant. The Gemara says, "Atu anan," and what about us? Achshes tramonim. I can't even pronounce it. Achshes tramonim. V'nei amarachim v'yadinalei. We don't know what that means. Now, again, if I were to stop the Gemara right here, in a footnote, I would say, well, okay, there are three words in the Megillah that we don't understand. But the Gemara says that if you read even part of the Megillah bal peh, meaning you don't read it mitoch haksav yotze, unless it gets too extreme, let's say half of the Megillah you don't read from the Megillah. So let's say in these three words, I don't understand what they mean, so it's like reading it bal peh, okay, that's one thing. But in the Gemara's frame of reference, it's an all or nothing enterprise. Either you understand the entire Megillah or throw in the towel. So nobody understands part of the Megillah, therefore the Megillah. Ella says the Gemara. Oh, these are the words that you have to underline. This is the bottom line of the sugya. Mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. We can fulfill the mitzvah of kriya and persume nisa. Hachinami here too. Mitzvahs kriya upersume nisa. That's the line in the Gemara. The issue, the question is how to interpret that line in the Gemara. So let's take one approach to the Gemara. There may be a whole slew of approaches, but one approach to the Gemara is to say the following. That there's only a mitzvah of kriya, and that kriya has to lend itself to pirsum anes. How does it lend itself to pirsum anes? The answer is that the people who are hearing the Megillah are going to have to learn, they're going to have to figure out, they're going to have to be very curious and ask the people who know what the Megillah is all about to appraise them, to enlighten them as to what's in the Megillah. So again, I don't need the persume nisa inherent in the Kriya itself. The Kriya itself, for most of us, might not be a pirsum anes. Most of us, meaning the Amiratzim and the Noshim, we don't understand it. But nevertheless, there's still a Kriya which is meaningful, because that Kriya could lead to pirsum anes. Let's say we'll encourage even the Amiratzim and the Noshim to ask around and figure out what this is all about. They're not a bunch of stupid people. Okay, they don't understand the language, but they'll be curious to know what's being read over here. That's one way of learning the Gemara. Rashi seems to learn it that way. But the other way of learning the Gemara, which is a little bit more lumdish or more conceptual, is that the Gemara is establishing two different mitzvahs that overlap in Kriyas HaMegillah. We could call it a complex mitzvah that has two kiyumim. And what do I mean by two kiyumim? There's one kiyum of kriya, just the mechanical act of kriya, and then there's another kiyum of listening to the Megillah, and by listening, to publicize the miracle. Again, how do I listen to the Megillah and publicize the miracle? So that's what I mentioned to you before, that Rashi says you'll be curious and you'll ask around about what's going on, what was the, give me the highlights of the story, the blow-by-blow story of Megillas Esther. If you take the second approach, then it comes out like this. Nira de kriya sa Megillah ika tarte mitzvahs. There are two kiyumim in Mikra Megillah. One is kriya, and the other is pirsum anes. What does that mean? That independent of pirsum anes, there's a mitzvah of kriya. and Kriya becomes a mitzvah unto itself, independent of or irrelevant or regardless of whether this person manes. And if that be the case, then perhaps we can begin to understand what the Bahag and the Bala Iter are saying over here. If we break down the mitzvah of Mikra Megillah into two parts, we can say the following: that there's one part called Kriya, and another part is called Pirsum Hanes. If we identify Pirsum Hanes with Shmiya, with listening, because there's no difference between the Kore and the Shomea as far as Pirsum Hanes, they're both on the same ground. The only difference is that the Shomea might have, maybe did not do an act of Kriya, whatever that means, okay, fine. He says the following: that as far as Kriya is concerned, even though you yourself were listening to the Megillah, you could be considered a Koreas of Megillah through the mechanism called Shomei Kohen. So in other words, as far as men is concerned, we could say the following: men have the mitzvah of Kriya, because even if you'll define and classify the mitzvah of Kriya as a mitzvah sasei shasman grama, but men are obligated in a mitzvah sasei shasman grama. Then we have another element called Pirsum Hanes. Here, men and women are equal. Why? Because although the mitzvah of Kriya as a classical mitzvah with a vice of mitzvah is a mitzvah sasei shasman grama, and women are exempt, but nevertheless, as far as listening to the Megillah is concerned, we have a new principle that comes to the fore, and that's called Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes. So the Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes generates a chiyuv of Pirsum Hanes, because they were part of the miracle, and they should therefore publicize the miracle. And for that, you apply what's called a Chiyuv Shmiya. Again, Rabbi Osser, am I being clear? The flowchart, the structure is the following: that we've split Megillah into two mitzvahs, basically, Kriya and Shmiya. Shmiya is integrally related to Pirsum Hanes. So in the Gemara's language, the Gemara says that there's a mitzvah of Kriya and a mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes. That mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes is now being identified with Shmiya. And the mitzvah of Pirsum Hanes is reflected by and generated by what we call Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes. And therefore, if not for the Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes, the package deal here would be a mitzvah seishas man grama, and women would be exempt. The reason why we obligate women is only because of Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes. Now, Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes is fulfilled through Shmiya. And therefore, if I identify Shmiya with Pirsum Hanes, insofar as a woman is included in the Nes, and therefore included in Pirsum Hanes, she has a Chiyuv of Shmiya. However, as far as Kriya is concerned, we don't have a special overriding logical reason, compelling reason to say that women are obligated. Therefore, Kriya itself goes back into the general rule, which is called what? Mitzasei Shazman Groma. So therefore, the Bahag establishes that a woman cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man, because Hachiv only goes as far as Shmiya is concerned. As far as Kriya is concerned, it's a mitzvah seishman grama noshim p'turos. And therefore, she can only read the Megillah on behalf of another woman, because in this case, they both share the same chiyuv of Pirsum Hanes, based on the principle of Af Hein Hayu Bos Hanes. That's the nature of this paragraph.
Can someone be mekayem a Pirsum Hanes obligation through hearing?
That's what he's saying, that you're being mefarsim Hanes to yourself.
It seems a little, first of all, it's no nicer.
This is similar to what we spoke about in Erech Chanukah. You remember we spoke about a person who comes back at a late hour and there's nobody around. Does he have to wake up the Bnei Abayis in order to be Madlik? So we came to the conclusion, based on the poskim, that if it's a big hassle to wake up the Bnei Abayis, or for example, a person who lives alone, that he could be mefarsim the nest to himself.
But at least there's a mice there. There's a mice at Luka. There's no mice in Shmiya. You're completely passive. You're not doing anything.
Correct. Because even in Erech Chanukah, if Lu Yitzur, you could get some sort of passive cue. Like, let's say, for example, If I were to assume that Neri Shubeso does not require a Maisa, meaning there's one Madlik, and that Hadlaka doesn't relate to me, but insofar as I'm part of the bias, there's a Pirsimanes through the bias, and even if I'm passive, I could be Mekayim that by seeing the Ner Chanukah. Here too, there's someone who's being Kore, and now that Kriya can relate to everyone. So if you have Shomer Kona because you need Kriya, let's say a man is obligated in Kriya, then in a Chinami you have a Maisa Kriya, but if you're not included in the mitzvah of Kriya, then at least you're included in the mitzvah of Pirsimanes, and that mitzvah of Pirsimanes could be accomplished just by Shmir. Okay, now again, all these are pieces of a puzzle that hopefully will fit into place at the end of the day. Now moving on to a whole other piece of the puzzle, and that's the sugya of Ksuva Bein Ha Ksuvim, of a Megillah that's written together with other Svarim, with other Megillos and so forth. So that's a sugya on Daf Yutes, and it's codified by the Tur in Simon Tuf Reish Tzadi Aleph. And the Torah writes, "Vitzarech shiyehek suva levada." The Megillah is alone, and it's not attached to other svarim. Imhi mechuberesi ma'am v'karaba. What's the law in the case of Megillah k'suvim and k'suvim? And he went ahead and he read the Megillah. Biyachid yatsa, but tzibur lo yatsa. And this is just basically a copy, you know, he's copying almost word for word the sugya in the Gemara on Daf Yutes. The Gemara makes a distinction. First, the Gemara quotes from Yochanan saying that Megillah Ksuv Ben Ksuv Lo Yotza. The Gemara says that can't be. And the Gemara says he's talking about Bitzibur. But as far as a Yochid is concerned, a Yochid could discharge his duty even though it's Ksuv Ben Ksuv. And that's what the Torah codifies. But now the Torah quotes the Bala Itur. Says the Torah, Kosov Bala Iter, Hadi Amina Bitsibra Lo Yatza. Now this is a very strange Bala Iter. Pirish Bebeis HaKnesses. In other words, the Bala Iter is going to differentiate between the following two scenarios. We get together 10 people and we read it at home, as opposed to getting together 10 people and reading it in the synagogue. Very strange. I mean, with all due respect to the synagogue, but why should that generate any new halachas in Mikra Megillah? The Beis HaKnesses Shu Makom Tzibur Uboi Pirsum Anes. Let's underline those three words: Uboi Pirsum Anes. There, you're gonna be omitting. You're gonna be deficient regarding Pirsum Anes if it's Ksuva Bein HaKsuvim. So we get 10 people together and we're reading it in somebody's living room. Yatza. So the Torah comments on this Bala Itur Nira the Chol Yud Mikri Tzibur L'Chol Davar. We never found that 10 people in a living room is different than 10 people in a synagogue. So if you're talking about Tzibur, then don't tell me that it depends on Beis Knesses versus outside the Beis Knesses. It all depends upon whether you have 9 people or 10 people. V'ein chilukim heim v'beis ha-knesses olo ad kan l'shom. So the Torah doesn't even make an attempt. He doesn't take a stab at trying to make some sort of sense out of the distinction of the Bala Iter between whether or not these 10 people are in a Beis ha-knesses or not. Now the Gvuras Yitzchak quotes some sort of anonymous biurim. I don't know, he doesn't give you the name of them, but whoever they are, he says, Ein kavonas bala ito l'chalek im ha-sora heim v'beis ha-knes solo. Don't read the bala ito on a literal, superficial level. No, he means something much, much more profound. Ella, but rather interpret the bala ito in the light of Tosfos. What does Tosfos say? The Gemara tells us on Daf Gimel, in the name of Rav, Kohanim ba'avodasam levim b'duchanam Yisrael b'mamadam kulam mevatlim avodasam uboim l'shmo mikra Megillah. So that Rav points out that even a Kohen who is working in the Beis HaMikdash, the Levi's work in the Beis HaMikdash, the Israel also has his avod in the Beis HaMikdash, that's called Ma'amados and Tainios and so forth and so on. In all these situations, Rav tells us they have to terminate for the sake of coming to listen to Mikra Megillah. The Gemara concludes this presentation by saying Mikan Samchusha Beis Rebbe. This is how Beis Rebbe formulated the following principle: Mevatlin Talmud Torah Uboyin Lishma Mikra Megillah. Now the whole sugya that ensues is to figure out if we could derive Rebbe's conclusion based on avoda, meaning if Kohanim have to be mevatel their avoda, does that mean ipso facto that if I'm learning or teaching Torah, I should also terminate my mitzvah of Talmud Torah, and I have to come to hear the Megillah? That's the balance of the sugya. I'm just mentioning that as we go along, because it's going to be relevant a little bit later on. So Tosus asks the following naive question, a very simple question. A child should ask this question: what do you mean that the Kohen has to terminate his avoda to come and hear Mikra Megillah? Why don't you let him finish the avoda and then he'll read the Megillah? The whole premise here that underlies Rav's statement is very shaky. You're telling me there's some sort of a conflict, a head-on collision here of an either-or situation between avoda and Mikra Megillah. I mean, avoda will take him, what, a half hour, an hour, 2 hours, whatever time it takes him. Mikra Megillah will take him another half hour, 25 minutes, and he'll listen to the Megillah. So what's, my high? Oh. So Tosis says, what pinpoints the Megillah, so to speak, limits it to a certain particular moment? That it's got to be, it's urgent that it be then, and therefore he's gonna stop his avoda. Says Tosfos, "Ditov likros imat zibur mishum David fe persume nisa." So, in other words, we're not going to forfeit this extra upgraded status of Megillah for the sake of the avoda. This upgraded status in the Megillah that adds a new dimension to the Megillah is so critical that it overrides the mitzvah of avoda. He says, so Tosis now asks another naive question. Wait a minute, how many Kohanim are serving in the Beis HaMikdash? You're telling me they have to run to the synagogue, terminate their avoda for the sake of Kriyas HaMegillah B'tzibur Mishum Persuvei Nisa. Well, let's assume there are 10 Kohanim working in the Beis HaMikdash. So why don't they just, finish their avoda, clap off and pish, somebody take out his Megillah and read it for the 10 people, for the 10 Kohanim? Oh. So he says the following: V'af al gav shahaya yose hayu. I guess you'd say hayu yose me'asara kohanim. So you've got your built-in minion in the Beis HaMikdash. You have to figure out exactly which lishka they would go into to read the Megillah. But he says no. The Beis Rebbe haisa yeshiva gedola. We're not just counting 10 people. We're going beyond the number of 10 people. U'mikomakom tzarech levato v'lelech likros b'tzibur. It's not enough that you have your 10 Kohanim. You want to go to this massive get-together of myriads of people, many people. Mishum berov am hadras mel. So that's what we have to underline now. That Tosus introduces a new concept. There are three concepts here. There's Yochid, there's Asara, which you could call Tzibur for my part, and then there's something called Yeshiva Gedola. And what's Yeshiva Gedola? Rov Am Hadras Melech. Three categories. Oh. So the Biurim on the Balaita, they're coming to defend the Balaita that at first glance makes no sense, they say the following. According to the Balaita, which of these three categories, these three types or modes of Kriyas HaMegillah is undermined in the case of Ksuva Bein HaKsuva? Says the Baal HaIta, only the middle category. In other words, the Yachid is not undermined, and the Tzibur is not undermined, but what's going to be undermined? This special Kiyum called Berov Am Hadras Melech. Sfir Leil Baal HaIta, Didavka Bekriya Berov Am Hadras Melech. And again, what's the symbol? I mean, it doesn't have to be so, but what is the if all things are equal in a community, how do you get this, how do you achieve this communal reading of the Megillah called Barov Am? Exactly, in the Beis HaKnesses. We're going to invite everyone to the Beis HaKnesses. That's going to be the central place. And that's where we're going to fulfill the mitzvah of Berov Am HaJusmel. Again, I would insist that it doesn't have to be a Beis HaKnesses. You know, they're talking about a new interest amongst kibbutzim, you know, in Yiddishkeit. I don't know how much of this is true or not. Like, some of it sounds like hyperboles, but there's an organization called Ayelet HaShachar. Have you heard about them? Okay, this is not a fundraiser for them. I mean, but I'll tell you what they claim. They claim that there are 70 kibbutzim of the most left-wing, you know, irreligious kibbutzim that are now begging for services on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. 70 kibbutzim. Now, again, to me it sounds like, you know, this belongs to Yemos HaMashiach, but that's what they're claiming. So imagine, and I could really see this happening, that a kibbutz that doesn't even have a synagogue on it, there's no kashrus on the kibbutz, Rachmana Litzlan, but they may decide that, you know, Purim speaks to our hearts, you know, so they decide that they're going to get together in the what do they call it, the hall, the cheder ochel, or they have an ulam where they have all their debates, you know, when they have to come to some sort of democratic conclusion about the medidiyut of the kibbutz, and then they're going to read the Megillah publicly. You know, they'll call up Ayelet HaShachar and say, send us down a young rabbi who's going to read Megillah for us. It doesn't have to be in a Beis HaKnesses. You know, Berov Am HaJusmelech means, as opposed to a group of people, no matter how many there are that are doing a group reading, you know, private reading, but it's public. But we're talking now about getting the entire community together. Again, we still don't know why Ksuvim Ein HaKsuvim is a problem. But he says the following: Avol b'kriya shel asara. If you get together 10 people and you have what I call a private reading, and they represent a very small fraction of the community, yotza af b'megila ksuv ben ksuv. In other words, even though you and I would have said, well, once you have asara, you're already upgrading the Megillah you're adding into the kiyum mitzvah an element of tzibur, and maybe that tzibur would be antithetical to ksuvim ben ksuvim. No, tzibur is tzibur. That's a universal halacha in kol Torah kula. You know, it's a concept that 10 people make a tzibur, and the Gemara derives it from psukim. And it applies to tefillah and to kedusha and a host of other dinin. We're not talking about tzibur here. We're talking about Berov Am HaJusmelech, a whole new dimension and a whole new kiyum of Kriyas HaMegillah. And that is the Pirsum HaNes of Megillah. Again, you and I would have said logically, intuitively, that the Pirsum HaNes of Mikra Megillah was a tzibur. The difference between 9 people and 10 people. 10 people, bingo! You know, we hit the jackpot, the 10 people, that's a tzibur, that's Pirsum HaNes. And that changes the mitzvah. No, tzibur is a universal halach. It doesn't play any special role in Kriyas HaMegillah according to the Bala Itur. Okay, you have a tzibur, very nice. You know, you want to say a Kaddish at the end of the Megillah, say Kaddish, you know, very nice, wonderful. But if you're asking me about Pirsum HaNes as a separate element, a separate embellishment and dimension of the Kiyum HaMitzvah, that's called Berov Am HaJusmelech. And when the Bala Itur says it has to take place in the synagogue, Lav Dafka in the synagogue, he means that the synagogue is a place to gather together the entire community. And that's what Tosis means when he says that a Kohen has to stop his Avodah. Why should he stop his Avodah? Let him gather together another 9 Kohanim at the end of the thing, after he finishes, you know, the Akrovas HaTomit Shel Beit Arbaim, and they'll read the Megillah, Kol Yom Koshel HaMegillah HaMegillah. But the answer is, that's not Pirsum HaNes that we're talking about. We're talking about a new kiyum, a new entity called Pirsum HaNes that's generated by Berov Am HaJusmelech. And that new kiyum requires, number one, it is a fulfillment of the mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And number two, it requires a separate Megillah, because once the Megillah is sewed up together with other Svarim, then you forfeit that element of Pirsum HaNes. Tzorech Biur, Shitas Bala Itur, Maishna, Kriya Berov Am HaJusmelech, Bikriya Samegillah, Biasorah. Normally, we assume that, you know, if you upgrade a mitzvah Megillah from a yachid to the level of Pirsa Manessa, you upgrade it from a yachid to a tzibur. And that also should be a kiyum of Pirsa Manessa. And therefore, according to Bala Iter, why not say that even if he read it with 10 people in a private reading, it becomes a kiyum of tzibur, it requires Pirsa Manessa, and ksuv ben ksuv is possible. So that's question number one. And question number two, moving on to page Reish Samach Beis, is that the Tur, who says that when it says Lo Yotza, in the case of Kriya ben Aksuva ben Aksuvim, that applies to Kol Yud, any gathering together of 10 people. That's called a Tzibur, says the Tur. Maishna Kriya Samagil Basara Mi Kriya Samagil Biyachid. Why does the element of Tzibur, according to the Tur, change the entire picture? And because at the end of the day, there is Pirsum Anes even in a Yachid. And that was this is where this piece of the puzzle fits into the previous piece of the puzzle. If you remember, the previous piece of the puzzle, based on the Sugya on Daf Yud Ches, was that even if I don't understand the Megillah, there still is a Kiyum of Pirsum Anes. So then, if Pirsum Anes requires a Megillah that's pure Megillah, we'll call it a Megillah Levada, then in the case of Ben Aksuvim, it should be possible, even for a Yachid. So even the Torah sheet is not clear, because the Torah wants to suggest that once we add the element of Tzibur, we have 10 people, it doesn't matter where, but we have 10 people together, now we have a psul of Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim, because we forfeit Pirsum Anes. But the Gemara seems to assume on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph that the mitzvah of Pirsum Anes is an absolute requirement for every person. Every individual has to be Mekayim Pirsum Anes. The whole sugya on Daf Yud Ches is completely oblivious to a Tzibur. It's addressing itself to a Kriya B'Yachid. And the problem with this Yachid is that he's a Loaz, or he's an Amoretz, or a Noshim. They don't understand. So the Gemara says, no, there's still Pirsum Anes. Well, if there's Pirsum Anes for a Yachid, that should be contingent on the fact that it's a separate Megillah Levada. And why is it that now we're saying that it's a Kriya Ben Aksuvim and it's Kosher? And if you're going to tell me that there's a Kiyum even in Kriya, you could achieve the mitzvah of Pirsum Anes even in the case of Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim, and the proof is for Yachid, then why not extend that even to Kriya Basara? We should say that he fulfills his mitzvah even in the case of Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim. The Mechaber, when he codifies this in Tofresh Sari Aleph, he says that Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim Yachid Korei Bo Afilu L'Chatchila. However, the B.R. Gross says that if you medai carefully in the Lashon of the Tur, and before the Tur, the Rif and the Rush, you'll see that L'Chatchila, you should not be reading from a Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim even for a Yachid. No, so now again we have a problem here, because if you're telling me that the Yachid can fulfill his mitzvah even if he reads it Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim, why are you telling me L'Chatchila he should avoid that? And if on the other hand there's such a requirement L'Chatchila, then it should be Likuva, and Haraya it's Likuva in the case of Asara, so why shouldn't it be Likuva in the case of a Yachid? Now, in the paragraph that starts Vahanira, he goes back to the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches with a new, fresh look at the Gemara. We said until now that when the Gemara says that the mitzvah of Megillah is mitzvahs kriyo persume nisa, what it meant was that there are two independent kiyumim. Right, there's a kiyum of kriya, there's a kiyum of pirsum anes. In fact, we went on to say that a woman is obligated in the kiyum of pirsum anes, but she is exempt from the mitzvah of kriya. So he says the following. One way of saying this is the way we said it until now, that there are two kiyumim and two dinim in mikra megillah, and pirsum anes therefore emerges as a separate independent din. But he says now, oh, and now we're about six lines down in the paragraph on Nira, on the bottom right of your page, he wants to suggest an alternative approach to interpret the Gemara on Daf Yud Ches Amud Aleph. To be'emes, pirsum anes, lo avi din bifnei atzma, we're not going to set up pirsum anes as an independent kiyum in this interpretation, but rather defines the mitzvah of Kriya Samagila. And what it means is you have to have a Kriya Shel Pirsumei Nisa, which means that the Kriya itself, again, we're still holding now that men are obligated in Kriya, but as far as the men are concerned and their obligation of Kriya, they need a Kriya of Pirsum Anes. Now, if that be the case, the Vav in the Gemara, when it says Mitzvah Kriya Vav U Pirsum Anes, it's not a Vav HaMachalik, but rather Vav HaMachaber. It means that, how do you fulfill the Mitzvah of Kriya? It's got to be defined as a Kriya that has Pirsum Anes to it. So it's not two independent dinim. It's not that Pirsum Anes emerges as a separate kium, but rather Pirsum Anes is an adjective or a qualification of Mitzvah's Kriya. That the Kriya itself has to be a Kriya Shel Pirsum Hanes. So he says the following: Kavanas Hagemara, the Pirsum Nisa Eino Me'akev B'Kiyum Mitzvahs Kriya. Meaning, now he sort of qualifies what he said. You know, don't take me to the extreme. You know, you might think that what I'm saying is that if Pirsum Hanes is a qualification of Kriya, then it's absolutely critical. And if you would have a Kriya without Pirsum Hanes, the Kriya would be meaningless. No, he's saying there are two dinim. There's a l'chatchila and a din b'di'evet. In other words, l'chatchila, we read the Megillah in a way that there will be Pirsum Anes. If you read the Megillah in a way that there won't be Pirsum Anes, you'll at least obtain the mitzvah of Kriya, and you'll forfeit the mitzvah of Pirsum Anes, but that's not the ideal situation. The ideal situation, l'chatchila, would be to have a Kriya Samagila that has within it, or is attached, you can attach to it, a Pirsum Anes. So he says the following. I'm just going to read the last four lines on the right side. He says, "Im yikra megillah biofen shelo yisparse manes, gam ken yikayim ikar din kriya samegillah." So why did the Gemara add pirsum anes? The answer is that lechatchila, what you want to have, what you want to set up, is a kriya that has pirsum anes. Okay. Now this is going to explain the tour and the etour. The Torah holds that Pirsum Anes is part of the mitzvah of Kriya. Leka shnei dinim nifradim din kriya samegillah v'din b'fnei atzma shel pirsum ki'im the din Pirsum Anes havi halacha b'mitzvahs kriya samegillah. At l'chatchila, we need what kind of a kriya? A kriya that has a Pirsum Anes. This din of Pirsum Anes is not critical. And therefore, if you had a Kriya without Pirsum Anes, it would still fulfill the basic mitzvah of Kriya. But if all things are equal, the ideal would be that you had a Kriya with Pirsum Anes. So again, according to this definition of the Torah, you could have a fulfillment of Kriya even without Pirsum Anes. Pirsum Anes, again, would embellish the mitzvah and upgrade it to the level of an ideal mitzvah l'chatchila, but it's not absolutely critical. Now, based on this interpretation, let's go forward with the Torah Shita. The Torah says the following: Hakoreya Samagila biyachid. And we're going now according to the reading of the Torah as we saw quoted in the Gaon Mivilna, which means that if it's ksuvim ein aksuvim, that should be avoided. L'chatchila, don't read a Megillah that's ksuvim ein aksuvim, because then you're forfeiting the kiyum of Pirsum Anes. And in an ideal situation, you want a Kriya that has Pirsum Anes. B'di'evet, you can have a mitzvah Kriya even without Pirsum Anes. So when the Gemara says Kriya u Pirsum ein Nisa, the u Pirsum ein Nisa is a way of embellishing and upgrading the Kriya. But it's not a separate mitzvah of Pirsum Anes and a separate kiyum. Not only that, if Pirsum Anes is coming to embellish the mitzvah of Kriya, it's not critical. It's only l'chatchila. It's not absolutely indispensable. Well, comes on the tour, and he says that makes sense when your whole mitzvah is a mitzvah sayachit. And if the mitzvah is a mitzvah sayachid, then he says, you can have a kriya without Pirsum Anes. So for the benefit of the yachid, if we have up to 9 people, then we can obtain the mitzvah of Kriyas HaMegillah minus forfeiting the kiyum of Pir Simanes. Again, that's not l'chatchila. L'chatchila, what kind of Megillah do you want to have? A Megillah levada, and then you have a kiyum of Pir Simanes. But in a fallback position, when you have a Megillah aksuvim ben aksuvim, and you're going to have to forfeit the kiyum of Pir Simanes, as far as the yachid is concerned, there is such an institution called kriya. And kriya is a mitzvah that you could obtain even without what? Without Pir Simanes. Oh. However, says the Tur, the Kriyas HaTzibur, if we want to embellish the Kriyas HaMegillah, and we want to upgrade it to a Kiyum of Tzibur, according to the understanding of the Tur, what you're adding to this mitzvah of Mikra Megillah by reading it at Tzibur, any 10 people makes it Tzibur, is a Kiyum of Pir Simanes. Oh, if that's the difference between reading it as a yachid and reading it as a tzibur, meaning what you're trying to add into the equation here is Pir Simanes, don't fool yourself into thinking that you could obtain that kiyum of Pir Simanes in the Megillah Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim, because in that case there is no Pir Simanes. So therefore, if you read the Megillah that's Ksuvim Ben Aksuvim in the presence of 10 people in a tzibur, lo yatza kriyas hatzibur. Again, it could be very well possible that the Tur would admit that each one as an individual fulfill his mitzvah of kriya, and that would be a kriya that's mufka, that's excluded from pirsa. But as far as the tzibur is concerned, they have a different obligation. Their obligation is to achieve not just the kriya, but also kriya sheyesh ba Pir Simanes, and there becomes absolutely critical. So for the yachid, it's a very nice l'chatchil embellishment, and that's what the Gemara means on Daf Yud Ches, that the mitzvah is kriya u'pir sumei nisa. However, when we get to the tzibur, that kiyum of a tzibur is a kiyum of Pir Simanes, and that requires a Megillah levada as opposed to a ksuba ben aksuba. So again, before we get to the Bala Itur, the Shita Satur now is ironclad, it's tight. He's saying the following, that the Tur's distinction is going to be between 9 people reading the Megillah and 10 people reading the Megillah. In 10 people reading the Megillah, we have a tzibur. 9 people doesn't form a tzibur. So 9 people is just going to be 9 individuals. Each one is obligated in the mitzvah of a yachid. That mitzvah of a yachid breaks down into two subsets. There's the lechatchila mitzvah and there's the v'yavid mitzvah. Lechatchila, that mitzvah on the yachid would have an additional kiyum to kriya. What would we add to the kriya? Persume nisa. But then we go to the fallback position in which the yachid would fulfill his mitzvah of kriya without persume nisa. So as far as the yachid is concerned, persume nes, as we saw before, is a way of upgrading the kriya to the ideal kiyum of kriya. The ideal kiyum of kriya would be a kriya that has within it what? Persume nisa. But that's not the nature of the obligation of a yachid. The kiyum and the mitzvah of a yachid could be kriya even without this embellishment of the additional element of what? Of persume nisa. And therefore the Daf Gemini is going to be the following. If the yachid has 2 megillahs in front of him, and he has 2 options, one megillah is written levada, the other mitzvah is benak savim, which one is going to take? The megillah levada. Why is he going to take the megillah levada? Because that's going to give him the additional kiyum of what? Persume nisa. But if he only has 1 Megillah in front of him, and that Megillah is written ksuva ben aksuvim, will we encourage him to take that Megillah and read it? The answer is yes. Because although he'll be lacking the mitzvah of persume nisa and ksuva ben aksuvim, but at least he'll fulfill his obligation. What's his basic obligation? Kriya. The persume nisa in the Gemara is only to upgrade and embellish his mitzvah of kriya. Then we get to the tzibur. Says the Tur, the tzibur has a new obligation that defines the very nature of kriya b'tzibur. What makes it into? How do you obtain that kiyum of kriya b'tzibur? Kriya b'tzibur equals what? Kriya sheyesh ba persume nisa. That's an absolute equation. So again, kriya b'tzibur, what adds something to the yachid when we make that, you know, we cross the bridge from a yachid to a kriya satzibur? What element do we have that adds this dimension of a kiyum tzibur? Persume nisa. Ah, then persume nisa is absolutely indispensable because it defines the very essence of that kiyum called kriya b'tzibur. Again, if the tzibur read a kriya without pesuvei nisa, okay, each individual would fulfill his own personal mitzvah. But if this new entity called kiyum tzibur is going to be obtained, in the case of Mikra Megillah, it's got to have Pirsum Hanes. And the precondition of Pirsum Hanes is that it's got to be a Megillah Levada, and it cannot be Ksuva Bein HaKsuvin. That's the easy part. That's the tour. Now we get to the tougher part, and that's the Bala Itur. So let's go over the Bala Itur. The Bala Itur has three categories. He's got Kriya B'Yachid, he's got Kriya B'Asara, and then he has a Kriya Sheyesh Bo what? Berov Am Hadras Mel. So Daniel, you weren't here before, but I used you, so I want to tell you what I used you for. I said, imagine if a kibbutz that's totally secular, they eat treif, they'll call up Ayel HaShachar and say, send down a rabbi, we want to celebrate Purim, get a rabbi together to read the Megillah publicly. That would be Berov Am Hadras Mel. The entire kibbutz is being invited. Now the Bala Itur doesn't imagine kibbutzim, so he imagines the mitzvahs of a community the way we have it. So he calls it by a different name. What does he call it? A Beis HaKnesses. He says you can get 10 people together in your private dining room, and that forms a tzibur. But that's not the additional kiyum of Pirsum Hanes. The additional kiyum of Pirsum Hanes is not the universal halach of tzibur, that, you know, you hit asara and the bell goes off. No, no, no. The extra kiyum of Pirsum Hanes is called Berov Am Hadras Melech. And therefore, Tosus says that if the Kohen is working in the Beis HaMikdash, and he can get together another 9 Kohen, and after he finishes his avodah, then that would be fine. But the problem is that there's a kriya going on simultaneously where? In the Beis HaKnesses. That's a kiyum of Pirsum Hanes, which is called Berov Am Hadras Melech. A whole new entity. And again, we're not counting bodies here. And it doesn't even depend on locations. It's not a din in Kedusha as Beis HaKnesses. That's not what the Bala Itur has in mind. The Bala Itur has in mind a public reading for the entire community. Everyone's invited to participate. I mean, you'll ask me, what would the Bala Itur say today when, you know, every Vinkel has its own Kriyas HaMegillah? You know, I don't know if he would be so excited about that. Mm-hmm. You know, in the hands-on engineering of it, you'd have to justify, according to the Bala Itur, that every single little community, you know, is making its, you know, its own Berov Am Hadras Melech for their own community. I mean, this is a question that's relevant to many different areas of halach. You know, what we call otis gol. You know, to at what point can we say, well, the Yemenites do it this way, and the Sephardim do it this way, and the Germans do it that way, and everybody has their own community. I don't know the answer to that question. That's a very tough sugi. But whatever it is, that community should have one communal reading of the Megillah. Again, there may be circumstances in which that's not possible. You have a chole, for example, and you want to get together a minyan in his house to read it on his behalf. There's no way he can get to the shul. You know, again, you could have all sorts of explanations. Let's say in certain countries of the world, maybe the weather conditions are very adverse and we can't get everybody together at the same time in the Beis HaKnesses, so we'll allow private Megillah readings. But all that is because of extenuating circumstances. According to the Bala Itur, if everything is a perfect ideal situation, you can have one Kriya on behalf of the entire community. And that's what I think he says in the paragraph, Ulam HaItur Sover Sheyeshnei Dinim Nifradim B'Kriyas HaMegillah. We have Mitzvahs Kriya and the din bifnei atzmo of Pirsume Nisa. And Pirsum Hanes becomes a mitzvah unto itself. The kevan the amrinin the yachid yatzak shekar ben aksuv al korch the ikar kiyum shel Pirsume Nisa afk shekar ben aksuvim. Ulekach svirle the afk shekar basara yotze the shapir ikar kiyum shel Pirsume Nisa afk shekar ben aksuvim. Okay, so now, as far as Yachid and Tzibur is concerned, meaning 1, 9, 10, all those are equal. And if we can achieve this Kiyum of Pirsum Hanes, even in Aksuva Ben Aksuvim, if we can do so for Yachid, then we can do so for Asara. And there will be no difference between the two. Ah, Where does the problem of Korah Megillah ben Aksuvim emerge? That's in the case of a Kriya Barov HaMadras Melch Lo Yotza. He does not obtain that Kriya Barov Am, and therefore if he's a Kohen HaOved in the Beis HaMikdash, you will not terminate his Avodah for the sake of hearing the Megillah read publicly in a Megillah ben Aksuvim, because Nira Desfile Leitur, the Kriya Barov Am Ein ze tosefes bi'alma. This is not a quantitative enhancement or addition to the numbers of people, and it's basically the old hat mitzvah of tzibur. Oh no! It's a qualitative difference. Ein ze rak tosefes bi'alma shel pirsum hanes. It's not just, you know, instead of 9 people, you have 10 people. If you have 10, instead of 10 people, add another couple of 100 people. Ki im davi min pirsume nisa acheres. It's a whole different quality of pirsumanes, and it's going to generate its own dinim. There are requirements that would not apply to classical universal pirsumanes, and then there are new requirements and new standards that are required for the pirsumanes of Barovam Hadras Melech. I would be fascinated, by the way, it's just a footnote, to learn the sugya of Shlosha Sha'achlu, you know, the perek in Brachas that deals with Zimun, and begin to see if there are different entities in Zimun. You know, you have 3, you have 10, you have 100, you have 1,000, you know, Shish Ribu. I wonder how that would apply, you know, whether this methodology could apply there too. But in any event, he says, Bilvad Iker Din Shal Persume Nisa, in addition to the kiyum of Persume Nisa, which is universal, that applies in every kriya, that applies to a yochin and to a sara and a tzibra as well, Tiknu Takana Vifneyatzma. The Bala Iter holds that there was a brand new Takana, a new Persumanes. You know, you have a Persumanes with a small p and a Persumanes with a large p, and it's a new entity. And what is it? It's called Berov Am Hadras Melech. A whole new qualitative entity and a whole new takana of Persume Nisa with its own rules and regulations. And then Afkamina is going to be is Kara B'Megila Haksuva Ben Haksuvin. The Afal Gav, even though you'll tell me that as far as universal standards of Persume Nisa with a Yachid or an Asara, it's fine. And you can achieve the mitzvah of Persume Nisa. But with regard to this new entity, which was established of Persume Nisa, namely Barova Majus Melech, here we need the absolute, perfect, ideal Persume Nisa, which means a Megillah Haksuva Levada. And this is really fascinating, that sometimes you see a category and you define it as a new takana. I'll give you an example again. I don't mean to equate it, but it could be that there are two different types of Hanukkah mitzvahs. There's a Hanukkah mitzvah which could be fulfilled mi Pesach bePesach beso mi bachutz, and then there's another mitzvah of Ner Chanukah, which is meiniach al shulchan avidayo, and it could be those are two separate takanos. For example, the Brisker Rav was famous for saying that he doesn't understand in our day how people could light inside the house. When did they make this takana? Right, it's only Mishas Sakana V'Elef. So in a situation, in a historical epoch where there's a Shas Sakana, then you have this new Takana of a replacement mitzvah of Megillah. And the requirements change. It's a new Takana. But now that we don't have the Shas Sakana period, and therefore we go back to the original Takana of Ner Chanukah, we require Mipesach Beis HaMibachutz. So what I'm just trying to give you an example, a Beispiel, as we say, of a case where they made a new Takana, which replaced the old Takana, and the whole mitzvah was sewn up and designed in a whole new way with its own requirements. And here, according to Bala Itur, what we're saying is that the Rabbanah made a new Takana called Barovan Hadras Melech. And the Nafkamina is going to be not only that the standards are higher, but that the mitzvah is higher. And how do I see, how do I gauge the fact that the mitzvah is on a higher level? That the Kohen has to terminate his avodah because of this urgency of Barov HaMadras Melech in order to obtain this new takana. And basically every yachid is true, but again, in every yachid, he's not giving up much. But in the case of the Kohen, he's giving up the avoda for the sake of this new takana, which is so qualitatively different of Rov HaMajus Melech. And Tosus says it's absolutely urgent. He can't postpone it. He's not going to wait till he finishes the avoda. So he says the following, that the Mechaber, when he codifies this halacha in Tafresh Tzadi Dalet, he holds like the Tur, and he holds that Megillah Ksuv Ben Aksuvim is Yached Korea Osafil L'chatchila, because he holds that there's no deficiency of Persume Nisa in the case we read it by Megillah Ksuv Ben Aksuvim. However, Kishikar B'tzibur Lo Yatsa. What does that mean? Now, if we analyze the Mechaber from the perspective of the Tur, with the definitions and the categories of the Tur, again, we're stuck with a Pella over here, something that doesn't make sense, because the Mechaber went a step further. He didn't go the way that we saw in the Tur, that L'chatchila, even a Yachid, should try to get his hands on what? On a Megillah Levada. From the Mechaber's perspective, is absolutely, you know, let's go back to the case that I mentioned before. He's got two Megillahs in front of him. Mm-hmm. One is Levada, the other is Ben Aksuvim. So what should the Yachid prefer? The Mechaber says it makes no difference. The Tur, the way the Gaon interpreted the Tur, is that even the Yachid, in order to achieve Pirsum HaNes, because that's L'chatchila, the ideal mitzvah, to enhance and upgrade his Kriya with Pirsum HaNes, he should choose the Megillah Aksuvim Ben Aksuvim. But the Tur says that there's absolutely no difference. Meaning you could achieve the Pirsum HaNes even in the absence of a Megillah Levada with a Megillah Aksuvim Ben Aksuvim. Now, if that be the case, what does the Mechaber mean when he goes on and he says that in Tzibur, Lo Yotze Yedei Chovasa, if he reads a Megillah B'Tzibur and it's Aksuvim Ben Aksuvim, he's not Yotze Yedei Chovasa? So the Gevuras Yitzchak at this point wants to take his breakthrough Chiddush and impose it and interpret the Mechaber in the light of that Shita. And it comes out like this, that there are two dinim and two different requirements with regard to Persume Nisa. If you're dealing with a Yachid, his requirement of Persume Nisa can be fulfilled even with a lower standard of Persume Nisa, namely in the case of Megillah Aksuvah Ben Aksuvim. But once we get to a Tzibur, he says it's a whole new, qualitatively different entity of Persume Nisa, and that requires a Megillah Aksuvah Levada. So in other words, what the Mechaber is doing to Tzibur is what the Balaita did to Rov HaMajus Melech. Meaning that whereas the Balaita said that this new entity, we're not going to differentiate between a Yachid that has 1 or 9 and a Tzibur that has 10, they all have the same definition of Pirsume Nisa, and L'chatchila, if all things are equal, they're going to have to read it as a Megillah Levada, but Pirsume Nisa is not Likuva, and then we're going to set up a separate takana, a new standard for Berov HaMajus Melech. That's what the Mechaber wants to do with Kriya B'Tzibur. He wants to say that if you have 10 people, and it doesn't matter whether it's a public communal reading in the Megillah or it's my own group of Chaverim that get together in my backyard, that itself, as a Kriya B'Tzibur, takes on a new entity and a new category, a new quality of Persume Nisa. It's a whole different, he calls it a min Persume Nisa Acheres, and therefore the standards are completely different, and the requirement now is to get a Megillah Aksuvah Levada. And even though had he been 9 people or 1 person, there would be no chisaron here in Persume Nisa. And as far as that Persume Nisa is concerned, he has a choice. You know, he can, you know, the Malach can move his hand this way or that way. It doesn't make any difference which Megillah he picks up. But when it's a Tzibur and they want to achieve the additional Kiyum of Tzibur, that's a qualitatively unique Kiyum of Pirsum HaNes, and that requires a Megillah Haksuvah Levada. Whereas the Balaiter holds that Kriya Basar is not a new din of Persume Nisa, it's the same identical Persume Nisa as a Yachid, and therefore there's no difference between you know, and therefore you could accomplish the mitzvah even with a ksuva, but if it would be a rov hamajus melech, then you have a new definition and requirement of pirsum hanes, and it's berov am, and therefore it requires a megillah levada.
So when you have a rov am situation, that generates a necessity to read it in the optimal way that you could achieve with a rov am.
Correct.
If you didn't have a rov am, then it wouldn't be as shayach to say that you would be that you would need to do the other things.
Correct, because Berov Am is a kium that's it's unto itself. It's like the highest level of Kriyas HaMegillah, to such an extent that you're going to have to stop your avoda for the sake of that kium if it's only an option for you. And you have to seek out that option until you find it. But that option upgrades and jacks up the standards for Pirsum HaNes. It's a whole new entity of Pirsum HaNes. We have to have a perfect Pirsum HaNes. And the perfect Pirsum HaNes is the Pirsum HaNes of a Megillah HaKsuva Levada. So again, let's say you had a public reading of the Megillah. The entire community is reading the Megillah together. But all they have is a Megillah Ksuva Ben HaKsuvin. And I'm a Kohen and I'm working in the Beis HaMikdash. I'm going to the Bala Iter. Would it make any difference? Would I have to run out, I'm not even dressed properly, I got my big day kahuna on, run out to go to the communal reading, or should I wait, finish my avoda, get together another nine kohanim and recite it? Yeah. And the answer is, since the tzibur, I shouldn't say the tzibur, let's call it the kahal, has no Megillah Levad, it only has Megillah Ksuv Ben Ksuvim, so then you're back to the general rules that apply to Pirsum HaNes. There's no compelling need that's urgent to get the Kohen to cease and to terminate his avoda midway and do somersaults in the air to get to the communal reading in the Megillah of the Kahal, when they're not even going to achieve that special unique mitzvah of Pirsum HaNes. And basically, if it's a Megillah Ksuv Ben Ksuvim according to the Baal HaYitur, then there's no difference whatsoever in the status of a Barov Am in the Beis HaKnesses, which is what he calls, and the status of 10 people that get together and read the Megillah. Now, Rabbosu, we're ready for the last piece of the puzzle. We started this whole discussion with Noshim and the Baal and the Baal Eitur, and before him the Bahag. And we said that according to the Bahag, there's a fundamental difference between the obligation incumbent upon the Noshim and the obligation incumbent upon the Anoshim. Now, when the Baal HaYitur quoted the Bahag, he added two words. And he said that according to the Bahag, the women have to hear the Megillah. Their chiv is what? Shmiah. And he says, "Umevatlos me avodosa." So, what's the chiddush here of "mevatlos me avodosa"? So he suggests the following. Nira, my opinion is the following. He says, "The mashakosiv ha'ita dinoshim chayovas l'shmo mikra megillah, umevatlos me avodosa." And we had a difficulty. Why did he add these words, "Umevatlos me avodosa"? He says, Lefi Amavur, if you take the other Baal HaYitur, what he's doing now, he's combining two different statements in two different contexts of the Baal HaYitur. Right? One context was the Baal HaYitur wanted to know what's the status of Megillah Ksuva Ben Ksuvim. And that's where the Baal HaYitur came up with this breakthrough shita that it depends on Beis HaKnesses. And now we have a Baal HaYitur who says, with regard to Noshim Mevatlos Me'avodosim, let's see if we can combine these two very strange and but yet separate independent statements of the Baal or the Baal HaYitur. HaYitur Sfir Le'Dadin Persume Nisa Shel Barov Amajusmel Chavidin Persume Nisa Bifnei Atzmo, and Pirsum HaNes for Barov Am is a separate entity. Me'ikar Adin Persume Nisa Biyachid Ubasara. We should not equate that quality or that entity called Persume Nisa of Barov Am with the entity of Persume Nisa in a case of one person or for that matter 10 people. Nira, the Baal HaYitur Bola Hosef. Now the Baal HaYitur wants to add another point here. The Afal Gav Shahanoshim Einan Chayovas Beikar Takonas Kriyas HaMegillah. Right, the Kriya itself was only imposed as an obligation on whom? Men. On the men and not on the women. And therefore the Bahag says that a woman cannot read the Megillah on behalf of a man because she doesn't share the chiyuv of Kriya. Because all she has is the mitzvah, the obligation of Shmiya mitam afein hoy bosanes. Lo tema, therefore you shouldn't come to the conclusion of mihai taima. Rak chiyuvo, I'm sorry, rak chivu osan. Osan in a feminine, right? Be'ikar mitzvahs pirsumanes. So when we say that afein hoy bosanes, that generates a chiyuv Shmiya, because pirsumanes is achieved through Shmiya, that's only Bidin Pirsume Nisa Shabarov Amajus Melech. Davi Min Pirsume Nisa Cheres Sheinon Vienon Chayovos Bey. Again, there's a possibility of saying that this new entity called Barov Amajus Melech is totally irrelevant to the women. Why? Because the women have a regular, normal, classical, universal din of Pirsume Nisa. They're not included in this unique quality of Pirsume Nisa called Berovam. Is lo ze kosav abala itur shechayovim gam b'mitzvahs Pirsume Nisa shel Berovam hajus melech. Again, the concept of tzibur would be totally irrelevant to the women. That's applicable to a kriya b'tzibur, but women don't have the mitzvah of kriya. Insofar as kriya is a mitzvah, say she's mine grom. So therefore, their Pirsume Nisa mitzvah is equal whether it's one person or whether it's 10 people. In other words, the whole concept of tzibur falls off. And now I would take it a step further and say that as far as this new category called Pirsume Nisa with its own quality called Berovam, women are not included at all. Kamash Malon, now the Balaita wants to be Machadesh, a new Chiddush, that chayovim, the nature of Pirsume Nisa with regard to women, and that's all they have is Pirsume Nisa, is not only the lower level, the lower case of Pirsume Nisa, but even the ultimate Pirsume Nisa, Barova Majus Melech. Ukmosh Kosovar Zoruah Bilchas Megillah Simon Shin Samachei, Agos Ashrim and Sech Megillah, the Tzarech Lovo im Ishto, the Elodov, Lebes HaKnesses, Lishma Megillah Barova Majus Melech. I can read the Megillah for my wife at home. Or I can schlep into the Beis HaKnesses. She's busy preparing Mishloach Monos for tomorrow. Or she's busy with making holopches, right? How many people here have holopches at the Sudas Purim? Okay. And right, we have holopches 3 times a year. So she's a very busy woman. Well, let me get somebody, one of my friends, if I can't do it myself, and read the Megillah at home. Why schlep into the shul? Mm-hmm. Comes along the Arzarua, now goes to Shri, and they establish, no, you have to bring her along to the shul. For samples. Oh, the answer is because they are obligated in Pirsumanes, but not just the regular lowercase Pirsumanes, but even the ultimate Pirsumanes. And what's the ultimate Pirsumanes? Barovamajismelch. And where is that taking place?
Sure.
Where are we gathering, you know, with the foghorns, telling everybody to get together? That's in the Beis HaKnesses. Oh, if it's in the Beis HaKnesses, you have to schlep your wife to shul to hear the Megillah read it. And if that be the case, the words mevatlos meavodasa means from the making of the holopches. And they have to terminate the making of the holopches, even though they'll hear the Megillah privately read at home, all for the sake of Barovamajismelch. Now, Rabosa, I gave out a page from Rav Hutna, if you happen to have it. If not, you'll have to listen to Torah Shebaal Peh. Let's just make sure that we all have the same page. And it should say on it, Ayin Aleph on the top left, and it's Inyan Chaf Gil. Yes? No? Maybe?
Yeah.
I think there's one extra copy here on the table. So let's just review what we know. The Gemara says, "Adlo yada bein Baruch Mordechai li'or hama." So the Gaon Mivilna wanted to try to understand what this Adlo yada is all about. And on the one hand, he says something brilliant, but on the other hand, it still remains cryptic and mysterious. He says that Baruch Mordechai means Gedulas Mordechai, and Or hama means Hapolas hama. So there are two nisim, two great miracles that take place in Megillas Esther. One is that Haman is brought down, and ultimately they hang him up on a tree. That's called Nefilas Haman. And then we have another great miracle, and that's Gedulas Mordechai. I'm convinced that there's a printing error here. It says Geulas Mordechai. It doesn't make any sense. If you just change the Aleph to a Dalet, everything is fine. Gedulas Mordechai. So again, according to the Gaon, what we want to get to is a stage where these two Nisim are mishkababbled in our minds. And we don't know the difference between one and the other, between Gedulas Mordechai and Nefilas or Mapeles Homa. So what is this all about? And the answer to this whole presentation is going to lie in two major words or concepts. One is called Yisurim, and the other is called Amalek. Okay, so let's keep that in mind. Those are the two, shall I say, secret code words here to understand what this Pachet Yitzchak is all about. The Gemara in Brachos has a concept called Bris HaYisurim. And it means that HaKadosh Baruch Hu enters into a covenant that if a person is willing to accept upon himself and live with Yisurim B'Ava, then Hashem says, I'm with you, let's have a covenant together. Bris HaYisurim. The Gemara Megillah applies this concept of Bris HaYisurim to the case of the Gzeirah of Haman. As a result of the Gzeirah of Haman, the Jewish people undergo an experience which can only be described as agony, as absolute tension, because obviously if things keep going the way they're going, nobody is going to survive this. It's going to be total annihilation of the Jewish people. And when the Gemara wants to prove that this Gzeirah of Haman achieved an amazing hisorus amongst Klal Yisrael, something that even the Nevi'im, the 48 Nevi'im, were unable to achieve, to wake up the Jewish people from their spiritual slumber and bring them to the state of tshuva, the Nevi'im had a limited success rate, let's say. But one action was able to arouse the Jewish people to tshuva. And the Gemara says that's called Hasaras HaTabas. The Pasuk describes Achashverosh taking off his tabas and placing it on the finger of Haman. As a result of that one action, that Haman now has the tabas, Klal Yisrael come to do tshuva because of the anguish they're going to suffer once the Gezerah of Haman is signed and sealed with that tabas. So the Pachet Yitzchak is bothered. He says the following. This is just an application of the general rule of Yisurim. The Jewish people were willing to accept these Yisurim, the anguish as a result of the aftermath of the Chasim of this Gzeir of Haman, and that brought him to do tshuva. So that's the bris of Yisurim. Why then does the Gemara use the language, and I'll quote to you the language of the Gemara, it's in, what are we up to, Chaf Gimel now? Okay, just give me a second. I'll read to you the Gemara. The Gemara says, Megillah Daf Yudalad Amud Aleph, Gedola Hasaras Tabas Yoser Mimemches Nevi'im. Now the Gemara elsewhere in Brachos speaks about Yisurim, the greatness of Yisurim that could bring about a person to do tshuva and its orus. Why here, in this context of Haman, do we have this? The Gemara coins a madbea, a whole new concept called Hasaras Tabas. What is this new concept that's formulated by the Gemara? It's called Hasaras Tabas. Why couldn't the Gemara just simply use the classical term of Yisurim and Bris Yisurim? So again, you and I might have been not have been so sensitive, but Rav Hudna is very sensitive to this language, and he wants to postulate that there's some new halach over here, new application of a general rule in the context of Haman, of Hasaras Tabas. And that has to do with which nation on the world?
Amalek.
So in order to appreciate Amalek, and therefore Hasaras HaTabas, he quotes a very famous Rashi in Chumash on the Pasuk Vayisrotzitzu. You've got Esav and Yaakov in the fetal stage in the womb of Rivka. And what's Vayisrotzitzu? Says Rashi, if somebody could be kind enough, I think Would you mind, Lenny, just opening up the Rashi? This right here, this Sefer. I'll tell you where it is. Because it's always nice to see it inside. Breishis Chaf Hei, Pasuk Chaf Beis, 25:22. You have it? 25:22? I'm not saying you have the page yet, but I'm saying you have the numbers. That's all I'm asking. So Rashi on Vayisrotzitzu, and hopefully we'll see this inside, says, Kishezekam Zenofer. What it means is, and Esav here represents the grandfather of Amalek. Where is it? Top of the page? Vayisrotzitzu. He says the fame of Apostle Gazelmer Darsheni. What's the Vayisrotzitzu? Okay, so he goes through the whole story that Yaakov jumps out when they pass this and right. Fine. Dover Acher, he says, Srotzitim, I can't read it, Zem Ze, Marivos, Bernachla Shneo Lomos. Alright, so I'm not finding it here. I think it's a Gemara somewhere. Where's the Gemara? Navod Zara, I think. No? Anyway, he tells you to look in that Rashi. So if you're looking in the text here on page Ayin Aleph, you'll see a line that starts with the words li'atzmo. He says Yadua.
Yeah,
you have such a line?
Yeah.
Okay, so at this point, yeah, he's quoting a Gemara in Shabbos. I'm sorry, in Brachos, and then we'll have the Gemara in Shabbos. The Gemara says in the Sefer Brachos, if you want to make a note of it on Daf Nun Dalet, al tovos hu omer baruch atova meitiv, al rose hu omer baruch dayan ha'emes. And the Gemara says in the Sefer Psochim on Daf Nun that this distinction between two formulations of the bracha only applies during our period of time. However, at the end of days, after the Geula, after the Achris HaYomim, then even on a Ra will be Mavarech Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv, on a Shmua Ra. He says the following, Ein Biyadenu, in our time we don't have the ability, Levarech HaTov HaMeitiv Al Shmuos HaRos. We don't have the ability to thank Hashem and say Baruch HaTova Meitiv, look at the goodness when we're suffering, never somebody passed away, whatever the case may be. However, that's as far as Bepet. That's as far as a verbal expression of a bracha. But now we get to the lev. And the Gemara says in Brachos on Daf Samach Amid Beis that with regard to suffering, is Chayav Adam Lekabil Blinu Besimcha. He has to receive it Besimcha. Did anybody hear of the Aderes? Right, he was, if I'm not mistaken, he was the son-in-law of Rav Kook. Did I get that wrong? He was the father-in-law of Rav Kook. The father-in-law of Rav Kook. Anyway, he suffered a tremendous loss. And the story goes that when they were bringing out, I don't remember if it was a son or a daughter, I think it was his daughter for Kvura, he was locked up in his room. And the whole funeral was delayed. And they were waiting for him to come out. And they thought maybe something happened to him. And they delayed the funeral. And 2 hours went by until finally they broke into his room. And they said, what's going on? So he said that it took him hours to prepare himself to say the bracha of Baruch Dayan HaEmes with a lev sholem. Because again, the Gemara's language is very chayv lekabinu besimcha, and Rashi says with a total sense of acceptance. Yeah, these are some of the mind-boggling stories about the giants. You know that I call it halachic man. If you've ever read that essay, you know you have to be halachic man to recite Baruch Dayan HaEmes besimcha v'kabbalas halev. But in any event, that's the requirement in Allah. I'm not saying anyone fulfills that, but that's the requirement in Allah. That's only belief. As far as Bepe is concerned, we're not going to say Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv until the Achris HaYom. So we don't have the ability today to reach the level of reciting Baruch HaTov HaMeitiv on a Shmua Ra. But belief, it's for Kabbalah Besimcha. He says, Yitoche lo li odom lekabel yisurim mitoch hakoras halev betovosin shel yisurim aval yefshar li odom lohavi hakoras zuli de bitus fasayim shel brocha behedja. Kol ze ein anoig el biyom hazeh aval biyom ahu shel achris hayomim ein kan el birchas hatova meitiv biyom ahu yeh Hashem echad. So now we see a split. We see good and we see evil. And we think that there's certain things that God brought about that are evil, but we know that in our hearts it's for the good. Hashem is the Kelev Unavein Ovel, but on an outer level, in terms of Sfasayim, Abitus Sfasayim, what we see in front of us is evil. Because that distinction in the name of Hashem exists today. Nimtzah, the other amakabel yisur bi'avo shebolev, ubepehu mevarach aleim dayina emes, hareu mi'ached b'shazu eshtei hanhogos shel dayina emes v'shel atova meitiv. He says that a person who actually receives yisur, if he's capable of doing so, like the story of the Aderes, bi'avas aleiv, then really, even though b'peh he's reciting dayina emes, but as far as his lev is concerned, he integrates two hanhogos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the hanhogah of Shmua Ra, of Dayana Emes, with the hanhogah of Tova Meitiv. Meaning from the perspective of his heart, of his existential being, in the inner emotional state, he has a total integration of the two brachos, of Dayana Emes, meaning the hanhogah of Hashem as a Dayan, and Tova Meitiv, and God's compassion, and bestowing upon us good. And this is the ultimate goal of what we call generating a bris yisurim. When does HaKadosh Baruch Hu enter into a bris as a result of someone, a human being, accepting yisurim? If he's able to accept those yisurim with the ava and the simcha of hatova meitiv. Again, in this world, as we know it today, there's still a split between these two anhagos. So bepeh, externally, he can't recite the bracha of hatova meitiv, but internally, he's ready for Atova Meitiv. He's Makabal Yisur B'Simcha, and therefore, when he's able to integrate these two Anhogos, and what looks on the outside externally to be Ra, is really Tov, and he sees them both as one, he is ready for that, he has achieved that Yichud in his Lev. He's achieved the Yichud and the Chibur of Shtei Anhogos, and that's going to generate a Bris Yisur.
Shtei Anhogos is Lev and Peh?
No, Shtei Anhogos is a reference to evil and good, meaning what we consider evil, like for example, Chas V'Shalom, the loss of a close relative, that's Anhoga of Dayan HaEmes. And when we see good and compassion, then that's Anhoga of Hatov VaMeitiv. Those are the two Anhogos. And in this world, because Ein Hashem Echad, God's name is not one, these appear to our eyes as two different Anhogos. There is one level in which we can integrate those two hanhogos and make them into one. And that's belev. That's if a person is makabel yisurim bi'ava. So for him, he's ready, he's prepared to make the bracha atova meitiv even on a shmur ra. That's how deep and profound his belief and his faith in God is. So he sees everything in this world as hanhoga of Atova Meitiv. I mean, it sounds like Rabbi Akiva, it sounds like Nochum Gamzu. You know, we have certain greats who reach that level. Mm-hmm. You know, they say about the Altav Slobodka that he heard terrible news on Yontif, and it was Simchas Torah, I think, and he continued dancing and dancing. As soon as they made Avdol, he fell apart. So on that level of Simchas HaTorah, he was on the level of one hanhaga, that everything is tova meitiv. All that happens in life is good. If anyone's familiar, even superficially, with the Hasidus called Bretzlov, that's what Bretzlov is all about. I mean, again, there are a lot of things in Bretzlov, but this fundamental principle of integrating these two hanhagas, I mean, that's Bretzlov. So he says the following. He says that if you talk about a Shmur Ra, or you talk about Yisurim, on that level of Shtei Anhogos, the Anhog of Baruch Dayan HaEmes, he says that what's worse? is it tzaddik v'ralo or rasha v'tovlo? And you and I would have said maybe intuitively it's tzaddik v'ralo. Because imagine a good person that's suffering. I mean, to say about that suffering that it's good, then that's a level beyond. But Rav Huttner assumes that it's even more painful when you see Rasha V'Tovlo. And to say about Rasha V'Tovlo, Yisurin, that that's all part of a divine plan, that's beyond... That's a level that takes Yisurim and the Bris of Yisurim and the Abba, the Simcha of Yisurim to a whole different level.
Because the Tzaddik can still aspire to the level of Hatov Amitiv, even Bitzar, but when you see the rush of a Tovlo,
right. It's beyond anything.
Comprehension.
You know, Jewish suffering is horrible, but when you see that the blasphemers and the Rishoyim Gemurim, they're living on high. I mean, in terms of Emuna, he says that's an even greater challenge to Emuna. To see the Tovasin Shal Rishoyim, that the Rishoyim are enjoying this life, and still believe that's part of a divine plan. That's Yeshba, he says, his language on the bottom of the page is Yeshba Harbe Yosef Yisurim. It's even worse of a suffering than the Yisurim of the Tzaddikim himself. And now we turn to Daf Ayin Beis. Okay. He says the following. That these two mahalchim, these two anhagas of Rasha V'Tovlo and Tzaddik V'Ralo are separate one from the other. Each one is a mahalch unto itself. That has one exception to the rule. And that is Amalek. He says that in general, without Amalek, then either there's a shlita of Tzaddik V'Ralo or a shlita of Rasha V'Tovlo, and both hanhagos could exist simultaneously. However, what's unique about Amalek is that there are no two hanhagos. In other words, there's an absolute equation between A equals B. Tzaddik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo are equal to each other. You shouldn't see them as two different hanhagas, two different kinds and qualities of Yisurin, two different kinds of challenges. No. The relationship between the Tzaddikim here, meaning Yisrael, and the Rishoyim, meaning Amalek in this case, is a totally different relationship. It's always going to be Tzaddik V'Ralo and Rasha V'Tovlo. By definition, they both go hand in hand. They're not two different manifestations. Why? I can't believe it. I did it again. I'm really great at this. I'm batting 1,000, as we'd say in baseball. Okay, I'm embarrassed to say it, but we're going to have to wait till tomorrow. But I think we made some progress. Okay?